celebrating because the children of God are praising God from the bottom of their hearts. Hallelujah. Just give him praise, give him thanks. He made it possible. He made it possible for us to see the very last Sunday of the first quarter of this year. There are some people that started this year with us. They are no more. But the mercy of God preserved us. The mercy of God preserved our family. We never had any reason to visit the mortuary. We never had any reason to mourn anybody. We never had any reason to go and bury anybody. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory. Promotion upon promotions. Promotion upon promotions. Favor upon favor. God kept us sustaining us. He kept us sustaining our family. Let's exalt him. Let's magnify him. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have praised the Most High. We have celebrated his faithfulness. He is the Most High. And because the Bible said, like beget like, you will never be found in the bottom in the maximum of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your generations will never be found at the bottom in the maximum of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that like beget like. That means like give back to like. And because you are in Christ Jesus, the same grace that sustained him throughout his earthly ministry, he never went to the wrong side. As the Lord liveth, no devil will succeed in deceiving you from the promised land of the name of Jesus Christ. No devil will succeed in luring you out of the promised land of the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God says that the path of the just is as the shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You will never know a better yesterday in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. No matter how it looks, in this perilous time, as other people are wailing and crying, you will be celebrating the hand of God upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your company will not go down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your marriage will not go down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your destiny will not go down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In this month that we are celebrating the prosperity and power of the Lord, because he said, I am the one that gives you the power to make wealth. Strange honor or divine favor that give birth to uplifting and success comes your way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Let's go for Jesus. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I welcome you all into his presence. Our God is a faithful God. He's a wonderful God. God does not impress people. He's already the Most High. Hallelujah. God doesn't speak words that he's not committed to, because he doesn't need to impress nobody. He is already the Most High. So I want you to have the confidence that everything that he has declared concerning you and I will come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. No devil will succeed in stopping it in the mighty name of Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So we quickly go into today's teaching. Thank you, Lord. We quickly go into today's teaching. Remember the prophetic focus for the month. We have been talking about the fact that prosperity is our portion in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we all look at the screen and cross it together? What's the prophetic focus for the month? Hallelujah. Prosperity is God's plan for us in Christ Jesus. We're not going to dwell or spend long time going to the past messages. I believe that we have had something from it, and I will advise us to go back to the site and try to listen to it again. I myself, I set aside time. I've listened to the messages again and again. And the Lord kept on revealing new and new and new things to me as an individual. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing, there can't be faith. You don't get faith by praying. The Bible does not say faith comes by prayer. You don't pray like praying mantis. without hearing or without the revelation, there cannot be faith. And when there's no faith, there's no what? There can't be grace. Grace will never work without faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross of Calvary about 2,000 years ago. But the Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. So whosoever have faith in what he has done, even though potentially Jesus paid the price for all our sins, but until you connect by faith, the grace will not work. So let's take time to build ourselves up. May God grant us the grace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said God will grant us the grace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we'll quickly look at today's topic. Remember, the first week we said, we tried to establish the fact that prosperity is God's plan for us and kingdom prosperity is real. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Kingdom prosperity is real. Don't listen to all manner of religious teaching that says that we don't have to be prosperous. That is not God's plan for you. God did not create you to be perfected by poverty. Poverty was never in his agenda. Poverty was never in his plan for humanity. Poverty came as a result of the curse. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the second week, we look at the purpose of that riches. Because if you don't understand the purpose, we abuse it. We try to establish the fact that if money ends up in the wrong hands, then the devil will use it for his own purpose. If the money that we're picking up prosperity does not, if the devil succeeds in depriving the people of God from laying their hands on it, the devil will use it. Whether you like it or not, money is a very powerful thing. In fact, Jesus did not say that when he was asking whether you will serve God and devil. He said, you have to choose one. You either serve God or mammon. Yeah, we were speaking when we were coming from home this morning. I was sharing with my brother and said, the experience that he had at work. I said, of course, people just collect their salary. If you go out on Friday evening, especially yesterday from 10 o'clock in the evening, you think it's another Sweden. Why? People don't collect their salary. Money changed the atmosphere instantly. Hallelujah. Even from some people that is very gentle, that will hardly greet you. Once he gets some money and he's able to lay his hand on one or two bottles of beer, he will speak language to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. What are we trying to talk about? Money is a very powerful thing, and therefore we need to give attention to it. Thank you, Jesus. And today we quickly want to look at the law that governs it. Thank you, Jesus. And I think we should start from this angle. Let's go to 1 John. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that the Lord will grant us the grace to be able to cover much ground today. Because 4 weeks is grossly inadequate to treat a subject like this. But like we know from the scripture that it's from precept to precept, layer by layer. The revelation that you had last year definitely is not the same one you had this year. It's increasing. And as you are increasing from revelation, you are going to another realm of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like somebody was saying in the program we attended on Friday, he said, we have been digging the well, but we should go from level of digging to dredging. Hallelujah. I like that word. It hit me like a thunderbolt. Bam! So you have been digging with digger. You know, some people, they know this is a digger. Ah, they dig, they get tired, they drink water. But some people, they're not using digger. They're using the one they use for the borehole. But those who are drilling oil, crude oil, you go in the creeks of Nigeria, they have special equipment. They call it dredging. They go to the depth and depth and depth and depth. God is so deep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it depends on our levels of thirst. So I will advise you to go from level of just using digger to dredging. Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, starting from verse 2. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and do what? Are you still with me?
Yes.
When we love God and keep his commandments. And verse 3 says that, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. The commandments of God are not grievous. The instructions of God are not grievous. God is not giving us instructions so that he can grieve us, but it is given unto us to groom us. Do you see the difference? When something grieves you, it gives you pain. When something grieves you, it damages you. When something grieves you, it decreases you. But the commandments of God are given unto us to groom us, to prepare us, to build us, to empower us, to become what we are created to be. And as the Lord liveth, the power of God will be released afresh for you to fulfill destiny in a grand star in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your children will fulfill destiny in a grand star in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said the commandments of God are not grievous. The commandments of God are given unto us to take us to higher realm. I want us to understand this, brethren. There is nothing God asks you to do that is for the benefit of God. There is nothing God asks me to do that we add to God. It is to add to me, because God can never be in need. God does not have a need. He is the Most High. He cannot change. There is nothing you give God or you refuse to give God that can ever reduce him. Hallelujah. I want these words to sink deep into our memory and to our understanding before we go into the subject we are talking about. There is nothing God asks you to do that we add to God or that is of benefit to God, because he's already the Most High. Every commandment, every of his law is to protect you. You know, just in the natural, when maybe Apple manufacture, which one is the latest one? It's iPhone 7. iPhone 7 Plus. When they did iPhone 7 Plus, when you buy it and open the packet, what do you normally see first? It's not the manual, the warranty. That tells you the condition, isn't it? And you see the manual that tells you how to use it. For example, it's going to tell you that this phone, you cannot take it to, you cannot put it in your pocket and go to 50 meters to go and swim. Hello? Are you with me? The manufacturer gives the condition or the environment for which the product will function best. But that condition, is it for the benefit of the product or for the benefit of the manufacturer? Hallelujah. It is for the benefit of the product. It is to protect the product. The instruction is given to protect the product, not the manufacturer. If you buy your Volvo car and you say, okay, I don't like the way they've asked me to be putting it inside petrol. I want to put palm oil because I like eating my F4 with palm oil. And you drive it to African shop, zoom, and say, okay, please give me 4 liters of palm oil. I like palm oil very well. What will happen to that car? You will bury it. the engine will pop off. Hallelujah. Or if your car is designed to run in gas, I say, no, I don't even like this kind of gas. I want another kind of gas. You know, another gas. You know, A2S. You collect the people's mess and put inside. Will it drive? It won't drive, sir. Because it's not designed to drive enough. So every law was always given to, to protect the product. So every law that God gave to us, it is for our own benefit, not for the benefit of God, sir. You know, when you understand this thing very well, for example, with the understanding that there is, according to the law of this kingdom, there is nothing that is permitted to exist without being spoken out first. And with that understanding, you will never hear me say, for example, I am sick. Hello? Because the law of the kingdom makes me to understand that whatever you speak will exist. He said, there was darkness upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. There was nothing that came to exist without God speaking out. In the book of John, he said, all the things were made by him or by the world. And there was nothing that was made without the world. So nothing is permitted to exist without the world. Including curses. Do you know that when curses plague, when curse plagues family, what the devil does is that he will deceive the people and make them to continue to confess it. Oh, our family is suffering from this kind of disease. Oh, our family is suffering. And as they are speaking it, they are creating it for themselves. Hallelujah. So what we are trying to say is that every law given, every of his commandments, it is to groom us, not to grieve us. And with that understanding, I want us now to go to the subject, really. That we belong to a kingdom. And in this kingdom, there are laws that govern what we must do and what we must not do. What's the meaning of a kingdom? The word kingdom comes from king's dominion, or domain, rather. Or is what do you call this thing? Environment. No, not environment. Another one for domain. Thank you, Jesus. It's territory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, every country have their own territory. Even on the water. You can also say, no, I bought a very nice aeroplane. I want to fly to Norway. No, they have their airspace. If you fly without telling them before, they will shoot you down. And the international law allows it. That's why when they are fighting war, when they declare, what do you call it? There are something they declare that you cannot fly around that place. No fly zone, yes. If they say no fly zone in this area, any plane, even if the president is there, they will shoot it down. You cannot say, okay, because I'm so rich, I'm the richest man in the world, and you go and buy a very expensive jet, and say I'm going to Nigeria, for example. Every airspace that you pass through, you will have informed them that your plane is passing at that time. Because they see a plane that they don't know before, they will bring it down. Hallelujah. So we belong to a kingdom. We belong to a king that has a domain or that has a territory. And there are laws, just like every normal country. Every country has a law. Has laws that govern it. Constitution. They call it constitution in the plainman language, isn't it? They have constitutions that govern, for example, the traffic law in Sweden necessitates that you drive at the right side of the road. If you say, no, this my car is so expensive, I don't want to do it, I want to go to the left. Before you know what's happening, pom-pom behind you. They first of all grab you and take you for a psychiatric test. Because they will say, no, something must have gone wrong with you. Hallelujah. The same way, in the kingdom of God, there are laws that govern. You don't just wake up and say, okay, no, I don't like it. You don't have to like it. And that's why I try to establish the foundation that every of such law were given to us by God to protect us. They were given to by God to us to sustain us. They are given by God to us to work so that we can fulfill destiny. So everything God asks us to do is not for his purpose. He's already the Most High. He can survive without us. He has been living without us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
I like the word Bishop Oyedepo said one day. He said, far be it that the Most High God will ever depend on your lean purse to run his kingdom. So, for example, when God asks us to give, is it because of God?
No.
Can God be broke? It's not possible. It's very clear. He said in Psalms 50, thank you, Jesus. Let's go there. I think we should go there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalms 50. Let me just open here as well. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms chapter 50. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, where you say the cows on the hills. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, I got it. Psalm 50, and in the let's start from verse 8. In fact, I like the title that the publisher of this Bible put there. Said God does not need sacrifices. Even when he asks them to kill animal, you know, most of the animal they kill, part of it are supposed to be given to the labor that are helping them to prepare it. That's why you see all this babalawo when they ask you to say, hey, you have headache. You say, okay, this one, the oracle needs a goat. That goat, they don't put it anywhere. They are the one that will eat it. They only collect the blood and just pee somewhere because they don't even like it. But all the head, the ratio, they're the one that will eat it. Hallelujah. You see, the cross doesn't eat nothing. It doesn't eat your physical food. The same way, look at what it says here in verse 8. Psalm 15 and verse 8. He said, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. He said, I will take no bullocks out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Verse 10 said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Who said that? God said that every beast. So he was telling them that because he asked them to kill animal. They say, no, this animal. Some of them will go and buy animal that is already blind. I say, hey, I don't have too much money. Do you have any animal that is almost about to die there? I say, it is there we should sacrifice. Bring it. I'll go and sacrifice. And God was telling them that all this thing you are bringing, if I needed them, all the animal in the field, who owned them? Go on there. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Say, I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Did you get that? Say, will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? God doesn't drink. Even when he asked them to burn it to ashes, the smoke doesn't go to heaven anyway. Hello, if you're a scientist, if you test, you will discover that the thing will just turn to carbon dioxide and still scatter here. God doesn't need them. So there is nothing God asks you to give that is for him. So I wanted to to cancel this mentality that I'm helping God. I even hate that with passion. When people say, oh, come and support this ministry. If you don't support this ministry will go down. Can you support God? No. No, sir. If anyone has been deceiving you, come and support God. A God that you need to support is not God then. Hallelujah to Jesus. A God that you need to support is not God. No, sir. Have that one at the bottom of your heart right now. That everything God asks you to do is for your own benefit, not for the benefit of God. Far be it that the Most High will ever depend on you. No, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go to Deuteronomy. And as we are opening that, and as we are reading it, your enemy will be dethroned in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through to 2. He said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken. No, hearken means hear keenly. To hear something with keen interest. You know, when you are listening to when your favorite club is playing game, you don't say, okay, even when your son says, daddy, if your phone is ringing, say, wait, they are about to score goal. You are watching with keen interest. You want to hear. God said, if you will hear keenly or with keen interest, diligently, you see, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all. How many? All his commandments, which are commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nature. Say amen.
Amen. And all these blessings shall come unto thee, it will overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, the time they were given this scripture, it was a time when Moses, the servant of God, was about to depart. And the people of God were about to step their legs or their foot on the promised land. And he was telling them that, well, you guys, you are entering to the promised land right now. But if you want to live there long, if you want to fulfill your destiny in that place, hearken to the instruction, do all what God has commanded you to do. As long as you are doing it, you will be in the land, you will live in the land, you will enjoy the land, you will be blessed in the land. Hello? You remember the prayer we prayed that, oh God, have mercy, give me the grace to do it. Because the devil, he does not have the power to plague you as long as you remain in it, sir. And that's why he will try to lure people out of it. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 2, he said, cause costless shall not be. You must say, we are needy. That means there is no cause that doesn't have a cause, something that has caused it. Hello? You are uncausable as long as you are not doing, working against the principle. Look at what God said. When Balaam and Balak liaise together and say, okay, Balaam, go and curse the people of God for me. In Numbers, what happened? He tried to curse them, couldn't curse. He said, I couldn't curse them because there is no iniquity found in Jacob. Hello? As long as iniquity was not found in Jacob, he couldn't curse him. There is no devil that has the capacity. See, look at it from this angle. The devil could not handle them, could not do anything until he lured them to disobey in the Garden of Eden. The blessing was intact. Everything was intact until they blew the fuse by going against the commandment of God. And God has not changed, sir. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So, Moses was telling them that this is the secret that any dummy can succeed in Christ Jesus in the promised land as long as you obey the commandments. Thank you, Jesus. Success in this kingdom is not a product of luck. In fact, there is no word. Go and Google, go and type your Bible. There is no single word called luck there. So, Likatin doesn't have its foundation in the scripture, sir. In fact, they even trace the origin of the word luck to the occultic. That's why it's better as Christians to say, the Lord bless you. You don't say, good Lord. We good Lord for what? The Lord bless you. The Lord empowers you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Delete that thing from your thing. There are some lying things that came into language that they smuggled in from the occultic setting. Thank you, Jesus. So, he said that as long as you remain in the covenant, as long as you keep on doing what the word of God says, he said, you will succeed. God was speaking to Joshua, even after Moses departed, in Joshua chapter 1. He said, now, my servant Joshua, Moses has departed. That thing that he told you, if you want to succeed, let's go there. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to what? I think it's on the screen. You can look at it. According to all the law. What is the law? The commandments. What's the commandment? The instructions. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand, or to the left, that thou may observe, and that thou may prosper wheresoever thou goest. Now, he said, this book of the law, or this book of the commandment, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How long? Day and night. He said, give attention to the commandment, because as long as you are in that way, that commandment, as long as you are walking in line with that commandment, there is no devil that can succeed in removing you. He said, that thou may observe to do according to all that is there written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Say good success.
Good success.
So That is the plan of God for me. That is the plan of God for you. That is the plan of God for the nations. As long as we are in Christ Jesus, doing His will, living according to His principle, success is inevitable. Hallelujah. Look, even from history, look at it this way. Christianity started in Israel, isn't it? He told them, he said, from Jerusalem to Judea to the uttermost part of the earth, isn't it? Top of the world. And they took it from there. He claimed, he came, he engulfed the whole Europe. What was the product of it? Industrialization. The prosperity of Europe can be traced to the season of the church, sir. In fact, the first printing press that was designed, by Christian. The first book that was printed en masse was the Bible. Hello, sir. So, you see that everywhere the gospel gets through, everywhere the principle of God is celebrated, glory, success. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me give you another one. I don't know if you have ever read this write-up, how the first Bible got to Nigeria. You know, the first Bible was in Abeokuta. Yes, it was in Ogun State. How did it get there? When the king came, I mean, the Abeokuta made friendship with the one in England, and he asked him one day, said, "Your own kingdom is making it. What is the secret? Look at how my own place is just full of bushes. What is happening?" And he said, "Well, this is our secret. It's the word of God." And he said, "Okay, give me that thing." He gave him the Bible, and he said, "This is the scripture we are using in the book of Proverbs, where it says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to the people." Now, Tracy, the first woman that would drive car in Nigeria, where did it come from? The first Nobel laureate in Nigeria, where did it come from? There is no great thing in Nigeria up to today that doesn't have link with Ogun State. Hello, sir. It wasn't by chance. No, sir. If you think it's a product of chance, you are deceiving yourself, sir. Why this the same kind of chance didn't happen in other places? So you see that everywhere the gospel enters, things will turn around. The thing moved. Look at the same history of America. America was founded by people who have been persecuted, the Christians who were not allowed to practice their religion, and they ran to that place. That was why the foundation of the second country was because people love God. That America was established by people who love God. In fact, there was a prophecy that was released that said Israel was established by God for people because He loved them, but America was established by people because they love God. And He said, "It will never go against that country, sir." You think it's by mistake that America is making it? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. What I'm trying to say is that everywhere you want to go up, celebrate the word of God. Everywhere the principle of the kingdom is being celebrated, you will never see someone that is walking in line with the word of God that's ever going down. The psalmist said, "I was young. Now I am old. I have never seen the righteous being forsaken." He said, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to a people." Go and see nations where people are stealing. Nations that they are trying to build with stolen money. Do they make headway? How many products that you see that you can say, okay, is being made in those countries? Originated where? How? Where will they get it? Thank you, Jesus. That's the secret, sir. So he told Joshua, said, "This is the secret. If you want good success, if you want to make it according to the principle of the kingdom, if you want prosperity with posterity that will last through your generation, then walk in the covenant." Thank you, Jesus. David also writing, or the psalmist also said in Psalms chapter 1, in verse 1, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That's Psalms chapter 1. He said, "Nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know the scornful? Someone that look at the seat and say, "Is it Christianity?" Yeah, yeah. No. He said, "But his delight is in the law." See, the law coming back now, or the commandment of God. And he said, "In his law," or "in his commandment, doth he meditate day and night." He said to Joshua, meditate in it day and night. What will be the consequence? Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. He said, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Hello? In his season. He said, his leaf also shall not wither, despite the economic crunch, despite the perilous time that he's living, despite whatever is happening in his nation. He said, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Somebody said something to me recently. He said, people are crying for recession in Nigeria. They are just ignorant. Because he tried to trace it to Israel. That every time the people start complaining, it's always a time for another set of billionaires to arise. And from historically, by far, he started mentioning them. The time when they sang that song, he named the people that rose at that time. They didn't see, sir. So he said there is another opportunity, and now people are being forced back to the farm. The same farm that they said, no, we don't want to go. Now, poultry farms are imagined everywhere. Now, people are going to plant tomatoes because they know that if you plant tomato will cost $500 per one. Ah, let me go and plant it. People that I know that are chasing contract in Abuja, where are you now? I'm in Adekiti. Planting. You see, it's another opportunity. So don't join them and say, it's difficult. It's difficult. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, as long as we are walking in that covenant, he said, your leaf shall not wither. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your leaves shall not wither in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The secret is this: walk in the covenant. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus told them the same thing. He just paraphrased it or presented it another way, but it means the same thing. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Matthew 6, 31. He said, therefore. He said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be?
Time.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I wish we should continue this one next week anyway, but hallelujah. He said, don't give a damn about what you will eat, what you will drink, or where you will be, or where you will be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father know that you have the needs of all these things. See, remember this. We are in the kingdom. And the Bible says that the glory of the king is in the multitude of his people. If you go to, I want you to take your mind off some of these godless, senseless leaders that we have in Africa. The glory of a father is when you come to his house and you see his children well-dressed and doing fine, isn't it? Even naturally, you see that. Even if he doesn't move around them, once he sees visitors, he says, ah, this is my son. He's in University of Cambridge. Oh, this is my second born. He's an architect. He will not be telling people about them, naturally. So a real king, his glory is in the prosperity of the people in his kingdom. Isn't it? Thank you, Jesus Christ. The same way, Jesus said, you don't need to worry about what you will wear. Because if you are going around with rags, they will mock your king. The devil will say, look at you. You are the king of this kingdom. Your son is what is driving, he's dressing in rags. How many of you have ever watched Coming to America? You know, when that man heard that Akim, his son was walking, he said, my son walk? Anyway, it was so ridiculous that how can the son of the richest man, the emir of what country? Is it Bermuda or whatever? Yeah. He said, no! My son, what? He was strange to him that the son of the most, the richest king, who's walking. The same way, if God will never watch poverty perfect you, sir, because he knows that it is against the principle of his kingdom. He will never watch sickness perfect you because he needs your body to go and preach the gospel. He needs your body to reach Zambia. He needs your body to reach Nigeria. He needs your body to reach Ethiopia, sir. So he will not watch sickness crush you. No, it's against his principle. That's why he himself, he came from heaven. He took those lashes, 29, sir, so that sickness will not buffet you. Because he knows that once this body quenches, you cannot, you don't have right to stay here anymore. So when you're saying, okay, oh God, you know, this one should even immediately delay the mentality that God is making you sick to teach you something. For what?
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
So Jesus said, don't worry about what you will wear. I mean, let's look at it, even in this country. Do you know that if somebody is sending a prayer point, and say, okay, brethren, help me pray so that I can get something to wear, you will weep for him. Something that's wrong with his head. Because you know that in this country, it's so easy, even if you don't have money, you can go to the second shop and still pick something nice and still look nice. It's abundant. Now imagine the King Jesus. Will he watch you go around with rag? Except those who want, because of fashion, appear to be going around with rag and cutting their jeans everywhere. You know, that one is about they choose to. Not because they don't have money. Hallelujah. I've always said here, nakedness, right from the scripture, it depicts shame. So if you go around with rags in the name of dressing, then something, your brain has been ragged. Hallelujah. Thank you. So Jesus said, do not worry. Now, let's go to verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does it mean? It means seek to enter the king's territory. You know, some people, they said, okay, they are suffering in their country. But say, even if I can put my leg just in the U.S. for one day, my poverty is departed. Hello? Hi. So God is saying, just seek to put your body, enter my kingdom. He said, once you enter my kingdom, you become a citizen of my kingdom. He said, all these things that people are running after, it will be given to you freely because the law of my kingdom demands that these things be supplied free of charge. So he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Enter the kingdom first. When you enter the kingdom, the number two rule is that when you enter that kingdom, live according to the rules in that country. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. The word righteousness there means his right ways of doing things. Do you get it now? So enter the kingdom, obey the rule of the kingdom, and you'll be enjoying the kingdom benefit. It's very simple. Even forget about all this theological big language. That's not what it means. Enter the kingdom, live according to the instructions of the kingdom, and you will enjoy the benefit of the kingdom. Hello? For example, he said, when you enter the kingdom, sickness is illegal in that kingdom, but which law do you need to obey? Obey the law of confession. Don't go around and say, hey, my body is fucked up. You fuck up eventually. Hello? He says, do you not understand it? He said, for in that kingdom, for example, you have to forgive people when people sin against you. Because if you don't forgive them, you won't be forgiven. And when you don't forgive, you have automatically torn your citizenship. And you have been thrown back to where you are coming from. You don't get it. He said, enter that kingdom. Obey the principle of the kingdom. Then you will. See, naturally, if you see a law-abiding person or a law-abiding child, if daddy comes back and daddy blows some, Papa, daddy has arrived, he'll be shaking his tail. But someone that has blown up the TV when daddy was not around, once he had Paul, he will start IVG. Because he has blown the fuse. Hello? So, just enjoy the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So what does it mean? Be mindful of the law. Then, how does this one have link with prosperity, for example? But before we go there, let me just add something. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:11. You know, God is a father. He knows there are laws. There are laws in the kingdom that you need to obey. And he knows that, of course, you need to understand that law, because a law that you don't understand, you won't obey. You know, one day I was driving with Megida, and he was telling me about the right-hand rule. It was theory. I didn't understand anything. Hallelujah. You know, until he explained again, the right-hand rule, it means that when you get to a junction where you don't have traffic lights, you don't have a road sign that shows that this road is superior, but when you get there, it means that in that place, right, Andrew, you're placing, hey, you're now talking. So next time when I'm driving, if I get there, I can understand. What did he do? God used him to interpret that law for me so that I can understand. The same way, the law of God is there. He has called some people to be the interpreter so that you can understand it better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why when people say, okay, I don't need any pastor, I don't need any apostle, I can be on my own. I just sit down at home and I just watch TV. You are deceiving yourself. You say, oh, you know, some people say that, okay, going to church in Europe, we are all Western Union people, everybody wants to take money home. The devil just wants to catch you and send you to hell forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:11. He said, and he gave some apostles. Say apostles.
Apostles.
Apostles means the sent one or the messenger, carrier. And some prophets. And some. Prophet means the mouthpiece of God, isn't it? Some evangelists. Some pastors. And some teachers. They normally call it the fivefold ministries. What is their work? He said, for the perfecting of the saints. To make the saints who are in the kingdom of God to understand the law of God and live according to the law of God and become perfect. He said, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, edifying means to build up and to decorate. That's why when we say, oh, this man has a very nice edifice. You know, edifying means a beautiful house, isn't it? So their responsibility is to interpret the law so that you will understand it and work with it and your life will be edified. Your life will be built, will be glorified. He said, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, now look at it, henceforth be no more carried or tossed to and fro and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you get it now? He called some people to be apostles, some people to be teachers, some people to be evangelists, some people to be pastors, some people, he gave them responsibility for the perfection of the saints so that the devil will not blow people around with the winds of doctrine. What is the wind of doctrine? He will try to misinterpret it. He said, now. He went to the garden. Here now. Oh, guys, how are you? The husband was busy. The wife said, okay, hey, who are you? Yeah, I'm Snake. Ah, very beautiful. Say, huh, okay. I heard that the owner or the king of this kingdom or this territory, he told you not to eat this food. Say, ah, don't mind him. He's lying. He doesn't like you. Eat it, Jerry. Say, huh. See, they were blown around or tossed around with the wind of doctrine. Doctrine means the way of doing things. It deceived them. They went against the commandment. And what happened? They lost their citizenship. Did you get it now? So that's why he calls the people to be apostles, he calls people to be prophets, he calls people to be teachers, so that they can explain, they can download it from heaven, download the mind of God, and explain this thing. I was reading a book recently, and they were talking about the some gay professors or gay pastors, and they were trying to interpret the scripture to substantiate or to give the reason why people should be gay. And I look at the scripture they were interpreting. Something must have been wrong with their brain. Because it was so clear. How can you claim that David and Jonathan, they were married? How? Their man has torn. And some people are following them. They are even weeping, crying, and say, oh, we are being persecuted because they don't want us to serve God. Oh, God wants us to be gay. That is lie. Hallelujah. Some people went to the extent of saying that, why didn't God send a woman angel to Mary? Why is it Angel Gabriel? It was Angel Gabriel that impregnated her. Look at that. And see, we know from the scripture that the angels are spirit beings. And in the spirit then, there is no female or male. So there is no female angel, no woman. Forget about all this thing that you see, man-made. And it doesn't even exist, it's a lie. They just created it in their mind. Hello, sir. So he gave them what? To be apostles, to be teachers, so that they can interpret it. Let's go to Job. Even if you get this one today, we say, let us pray forever in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Job 33. Job was suffering. Life was going out of him. Sickness, diseases here and there. He lost all his property. Prosperity disappeared. And at the point, look at what God said here. In Job 33, starting from 14, said, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. He said, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumbering upon them." So God cannot speak him. He said, "Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." Pride was that he wants to follow his own way. They said, "He kept back his soul from going into the pit." Well, he hid pride from him. He removed him from following his own way. And his life from perishing by the sword. He said, "He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bone with strong pain." Now, so that his life abhorred bread, and his soul dainty meat. He said, "His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen. And his bones that were not seen," stick, I was talking about his physical state. He has lost weight to the extent that his bones, the bones of his ribs, were almost coming out. Life was oozing out of him. You will look at him, you thought he had AIDS. He was terribly looking. Now in verse 22, he said, "Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer." So he was about to die. But look at the turning point. He said, "If there be a messenger within, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness." If you read verse 24 down, you see that his point of recovery was when the interpreter came and he showed him his uprightness. That in Christ Jesus, this sickness was supposed to kill you. For it is written, whatsoever God did not come, he said, it cannot come to pass. If God did not say, who saith a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Has the Lord commanded that you should be barren? Did the Lord command that you should be destroyed by sickness? Did the Lord command that you should be going and begging for your neighbor? No, so he said, it cannot come to pass. And he said, yes. As from today, you foul spirit that is buffeting my life, I come against you. Look at me. At the time, like the testimony I gave to you, we are surrounded by people of diabolical belief and all manner of nonsense. And you see, we go to all night prayer and shake your head. Oh God, deliver me. You come back the following day, you're still having a dream and somebody pursuing you. But the point at which I was liberated was when I laid my hand on the book written by Kenneth Hagin, The Authority of the Believer, and I discovered my authority in Christ Jesus. You know, if I was at home when they're talking about that juju, I will use my hand, bare hand, to uproot it, sir. Nothing will happen upon them. Because in Christ Jesus, I am seated in the heavenly realm, far above principalities and power. So who is that? Who is that witch? Who is that ogboni man that will say, well, I can't go? Who upon you? Where do you get it from? Hello, sir. Because the God used that man as an interpreter to show me my right in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. What is the law that governs the kingdom of God when it comes to prosperity? Genesis 8:22. I think we need to round up somehow. Just try to glance through. Flip through, and we just have to round up because of our time. But the main law that governs kingdom prosperity, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. He said, "Why the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter." Some may not like this one because they say winter will still be you. So even after rapture, don't worry, you're going to have enough jacket. The king has enough. He said, "Cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." But our emphasis is in seed time and harvest. Seed time must precede harvest time. It will be high level of madness for somebody who did not plant mango and be sitting there in his house and be praying, Oh God, let me harvest mango. You want to steal it? You have to plant first. So when it comes to prosperity in the kingdom of God that we belong to, you have to sow your way into up, into the top. Hello? It is governed by the law of seed time and harvest. And that's why we started with understanding that. You understand that everything that God asks you to do is not for God. If he asks you to give your money, your tithe, for example, is he the one that will spend it? He said, bring ye your tithe into my house. Into what? Into the storehouse. Where is the storehouse? In heaven? No, even if you build the highest, the tall building and throw 1 billion, it will still come down. It is to his storehouse. It is for you. Because he knows everything. That's the way it works. Do you know that there are people who are still looking for a job today? They're not employed because somebody that is supposed to release job they are supposed for them is withholding it. Some people are supposed to be driving, but the car they are supposed to use, somebody is withholding it. Some people supposed to be clothed. Look at what is happening in some nations, for example. People are walking around naked. But in some country, they are destroying and burning clothes. What will happen if we distribute them? Hallelujah. What will happen? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12, he said that. Chapter 1 and verse 12. We're not going to read it because of our time. Let's just jump. Because. Thank you, Jesus. I wish we could have time. But. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. But just understand that in this kingdom, if you're writing that, you can just write that Galatians chapter 1, 12. It's talking about seed time and harvest as well. Hallelujah. This law is governed by seed time and harvest time. And the same Job, God spoke to him there. Thank you, Jesus. In Job 22 and in verse 21, he said, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law. Which law? From his mouth. And lay up his word in your heart. He said, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. He said, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. You know, I told you the other time, I said, when you see gold in the scripture, it's talking about prosperity. He said, you will be prosperous, that you have plenty as dust. And the gold of Ophir are the stone of the brooks. He said, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Yes, if you obey the law. What law? Sowing and reaping. Let's quickly round up here and say, and let's just look at the avenues for you to sow. The avenues that God has created for us to sow in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. God has created avenues for us to sow. And you remember that we have two major channels. Towards the kingdom and towards the people. Hallelujah to Jesus. For the poor and for the kingdom. For the pulpit and for the people. For the pulpit and for the people. And let us also note, there are ministries that are fertile ground, but there are ministries that are existing to make you. Hello? So, sow with discretion, like the question that was asked last Sunday. Don't be for that Christmas. And so, okay, then now God said we should be giving. And just start spreading your seed anyhow. It will be a foolishness on the part of a farmer to say, oh, I love this seed so much, and therefore I want to sow it. And you go to the junction and you start spraying it. It is the boss that will eat it. You have to look for a fertile ground. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. There are ministries that are surviving to eat. Hallelujah to Jesus. But there are ministries who are surviving to minister to people. So locate such ministries and sow into them. So what are the avenues? Thank you, Jesus. Number one avenue is tithing. Say tithing. Somebody said that give your tithe so that thing will not be tithe for you. And for a strange reason, this is one of the most, in quote,
argued about avenues of giving. Maybe because it was clearly stated here. What's the meaning of tithing? Tithing simply interpreted means 10%. In fact, I like it, the Yoruba translation for it, say idamewa. That is 1 out of 10, or 10%. 8.8% is not tithe. 9.2% is not tithe. 9.9% is not tithe. If it is tithe, it is 10%. 10% of your increase, according to Malachi. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Malachi chapter 3. Let me just read that one. Then we just go to the next one. Hallelujah. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So it's easy to locate. Are you still able to get some? I mean, to soak in some? Hallelujah. Malachi. Oh, sorry, I opened my car. I was just looking at that. What happened?
It's on the screen.
Yeah, it's on the screen. Okay. Malachi chapter 3. Let's start from verse 8, isn't it? Hallelujah. What am I doing? Still open Zechariah. Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes, I'm there now at last. He said, "Will a man rob God?" Can you rob God?
Yes.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what he's saying here. He said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." God was speaking here. He said, "But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee?" Because they asked, see, at that point in time, if you look at this, the context of the time they were writing this one, they were at the point saying, we have been serving you, Lord. If you read it further down, you will see that where they were saying that your voice has been stout at me. They were complaining or murmuring and saying, "Lord, we go to church. We pray. We even buy cars. We are doing things for the kingdom. We even go out witnessing. But what is happening?" And just like Jesus said to the churches, where he said, "Well, you've tried, you've done something, but you have lost your first love." And God said, "Now, you have missed it in this way." He said, "You have robbed me." He said, "How have we robbed you?" He said, "In tithe and in offering." He said, "Ye are cursed with a curse." Say, "God forbid. For ye have robbed me, even in this old nation." So, nationally and individually or personally, they were robbing God. They were eating their tithes. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Like we said, there is nothing God asks you to do that is for his own benefit. 10% that you pay to God, God doesn't need it as a person and as a being. No. All the tithe that he asked them to give in the Old Testament, it was to be given even to the Levites who are working full-time in the ministry there. Anytime people want to sacrifice, they take the animal to them. They help them to slaughter it, pray for them, they go back. God doesn't need it. It is for you and I. He said, "Ye are cursed with a curse." Because some people, they will try to follow, like what we said, that some people are following the winds of doctrine. They say in the New Testament, of course, in the New Testament day, you don't give tithe because you want to please God or because you are afraid of God. You give tithe because you love God. It's a product of, "Oh God, I love you, I want to obey you." Both personally, even companies, ministries. Like I said to us last week, this ministry paid tithes. You will never see a tither whose needs are not being supplied. Hallelujah. Some of us, we go around, we buy Coke. You drink Coke. Do you know where the tithe of Coke go to? That is from the family that own Coke pays tithe. So look at the billions and the trillions of money
that is coming in monthly for that company. If they are paying tight, do you already have million? This is a hard saying. Jesus, when he preached today, some people say, "Oh, I want to leave." He didn't say, "Okay, I beg you, don't leave." He said, "Oh, that's it. You want to leave too?" That's the truth. Let's receive the grace. If 10% of Christians worldwide will be faithful with their tithe, Christianity will not be at this level.
May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Tithing, who pays tithe? Every child of God. Who do you pay tithe to? Leviticus 27:30. The tithe goes to God, not to your pastor. Leviticus 27:30. Write it down so that you can get it. I can even email this one to us so that this note to us, because we won't be able to cover everything. I will email it to us so that you can spend time to read during the week. Because I've prepared it in such a way that even you can read it yourself and get it step by step. Who pay tithe? I mean, who do you pay tithe to? You pay it to God. Leviticus 27:30. The tithe is the Lord's, not the pastor's. Any pastor that says you should bring your tithe for him is a thief. Hello? He's a thief. The pastor, the tithe money is not for the pastor. It is the Lord's. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. He said your tithe belongs to the church. Not for the pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Seven blessings of it. Number one, when you open your pay your tithe, according to Malachi 8 that we read, Malachi 3, 8 through to 12, cause will be a revival. He said, prove ye me. He said, God, you know, the Most High, the King of Kings, he was saying, test me. You want to prove me? Yeah? He said, test me. Test me. If all these things will not happen, and consistently, if you pay your tithe, joyfully, willingly, lovingly, without complaint, and this thing doesn't happen, come and tell me that family you are a liar, sir. God, this is what is in scripture. Personally, I've tested it myself. Honestly, if you look at this family, since 2009 when we moved in this country, and you see how much comes in per month, and by the great glory of God, we are not in red at this time, it must have been a miracle, sir. Our fathers in the Lord, they treated the same thing. Abraham treated Titan. He became a reference point. Jacob did the same thing. Our fathers in the Lord are doing it, and they became a reference point. Who do you want to resemble? By eating your tithe. Cause to be averted. Number two, open heaven. Number three, chance of blessing. Number four, he said, devourer will be rebuilt for your sake. There was this testimony of this cotton farmer in America. He planted cotton. And you know, when you plant, just like if you plant corn, when your corn is supposed to produce at a certain time, it doesn't produce. For example, if you're planting in Nigeria and suddenly Harmattan comes, the corn will dry up. So this man planted cotton and the cotton was supposed to split. You know, have you ever seen cotton? Mama will know this one. Yeah. Supposed to split. The cotton refused to split and the weather was coming contrary. And this man said, I am a tither. It is written. He will rebuild the valor for my sake. So he took his tithing booklet and threw it in the paper, in the field, and said, now, God, prove yourself. He came back. Everything. That must have been the power of God. There is no chemical that you can spray there that will have produced that kind of effect. He said, prove me. He said, I will rebuild the valor for your sake. When you pay your tithe, productivity is enhanced. Because he said, he will open the windows of heaven for the rain. Do you think, what kind of rain? The physical rain? No! Supernatural ideas! Because he said, it will be the rain of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 11, God was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit, if you see that, about five out of the seven spirits of God mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11 is ministering to the mind. Spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, spirit of cancer, spirit of fear of the Lord. You see that seven is ministering to the mind. So you cannot see somebody that is truly open to the Holy Spirit whose mind is not productive. We are talking about Einstein today. Forget about all those like people that put, they say it's an occult man. No, it's a Christian, tongue-talking Christian. Look at Faraday. Look at all the, look at even Celsius. Celsius was buried in Uppsala here. You are using your thermometer today worldwide, they say 100 degrees Celsius.
You think they are Ifa people? No, you are Christians. Holy Spirit filled tighter Christians are. The ideas, of course, you cannot be a tighter and things get tight for you. Why? When things are trying to get tight, the Spirit of God will breathe upon your listening faculty. He will give you idea that will go, that will pave way for you, sir. So it's not for God, it's for you. You can go and say, Lord, I am a tighter. No, I can't continue like this. What is the secret? And he will tell you, go and invest in that business. That business, it doesn't make sense. Say, yes, my son, go and do it. I see God visiting you specially in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Number one avenue, number two avenue is your offering. Your tithe is not offering. Hello? Tithe is not offering. Tithe is clearly stated. 10% of your earning. In other words, if you are earning 1,000 crown per month, your tithe is how much? 100 crown. If your company is making 2,000 crown per month, your tithe is 200 crown. Even the kids will make them understand this one. Hello? You know, as their monthly stipend is coming, monthly by month, tithe is removed. It goes to God. Hallelujah. I told you the testimony of one of our bishops. He was waiting upon the Lord. Child was not forthcoming. He said, no. Something must be done. He went to church, picked the tithe booklet, named his children, and started paying tithe in advance. And God said, no. Teachers are already paying tithe. Their names are already registered. The kids are released. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Number two is your offering. Exodus 15, 1 to 2. Write it down. That is willful amount that you choose every time you come to his presence and say, Lord, thank you for this another opportunity to worship in your house. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. I give this offering cheerfully, willingly, lovingly, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So your number one is tithe, number two is offering, number three is prophet offering. Say prophet offering. This one also, people don't want to talk about it because they say, okay, if I'm a pastor and I talk about it, they think I'm begging. No, you know what? Let me mention this one again. When Isaac asked his children, Esau, to go and bring meat for him so that he could bless him, was Isaac hungry? Hello? Answer me. Was he hungry? No, he was already a super rich man. He had thousands of these same goats that he asked him. He said, go and kill. So when God asks you to bring something, it's not because God is hungry, but because he wants to fulfill the principle of his kingdom. Because blessing cannot manifest until it is proclaimed. Hello, sir. That's the way it works. Don't despise the laws of God. Prophet offering is to say that, okay, the servant of God that is ministering to your life, you sow into their lives too. Bible talks about the people that sow practically into the life of Jesus. Look at that woman that poured perfume, putting perfume on his leg, that even used his hand, the ear, to wipe it. He ministered to Jesus. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Reference Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 to 42. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So learn to sow into their lives and to pray for them, both physical seed and spiritual seed. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 also. There is no fixed amount for this, but according to your size per time. Per time. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go and borrow to give. God will never ever ask you. If we didn't ask you to borrow to give tithe, how will he ask you to go and borrow? No. You're not supposed to borrow. 10% is when you make a profit. It means when you don't make any profit, there's nothing to give about tithe. Offerings from the remaining, you take out of it. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So he doesn't ask him to borrow. He said it's according to your size. I remember there was a time that great men of God that has ministered to me in my life, that I saw as small as 50 naira, Nigerian naira to them. What will they do? They can't even use it. They don't even know that you are existing. But it's a kingdom principle that you are working at. And as you are doing that, God is confirming the blessing they are proclaiming upon your life. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Number four is project offering. Say project offering. Project offering talks about different projects in the household of God. You can come and notice that, this place is looking somehow. Maybe it would be better to cover a particular area with a kind of rug. Lord, I wish you bless me. I can buy this rug. This church doesn't have a wall clock. And the pastor is always turning his head. You can, ah, okay, let me go and buy. Look for projects. Identify it. Don't wait. Don't wait until you have been told. Of course, there are times when they raise offering for particular project, like when they wanted to build the ark. God told them in Exodus 23, he said, go, tell them to bring to bring gifts. And they brought as the spirit stirred up, their minds. They gave according to their levels. So look for it. And don't say, okay, I'm not a millionaire. Don't wait until you're a millionaire, because in this kingdom, you walk yourself up. You don't jump up. You walk up so that you won't crash down. It is only 419 that I want to go to this computer and do Yahoo Yahoo. And if today he borrow money to go to cyber cafe, but he want to become to be spending 10 million tomorrow, he's a thief. He did never work like that in the kingdom of God. When God wanted to create the whole earth, he created just one man, added one woman to it, two of them produced, isn't it? He gave them a garden. He has them to multiply. The same way, you work yourself up. It may be at this level. Maybe it's 5 crowns. Maybe when you drop 5 crowns in the offering, and God, you know, there are people that will pay 20 crowns as offering. And God will say, ah, this boy, he loved me this much. Because that 20 crowns is so much in the sight of God. Look at Jesus. He was watching them when they were paying offering. And a woman came. Stop it, very smart man. Say, this woman pays more than all of you. There were millionaires there. Yet, God recognized the small one. Because it's according to your size. Some people, according to your size, now, maybe it's 10 crowns. And God will say, ah, my daughter. He gave me 10 crowns. Something must happen. I see God open the windows of heaven upon me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Number 5, giving to the less privileged. Give to the less privileged. Give to the less privileged. That's the last one. Let's stand up. Give to the less privileged. Identify. And how do you start to understand? It's in 2 ways. He said, giving unto the household of faith. So you start from your house, your wife, your children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. It is in this order, according to the scripture. You start with your wife. Hello? Not your children, first. He's a bad man boy. So, because the culture has taught us to say, okay, yes, 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 yes. Oh, I love my children. Yeah, no. Your wife is number one. Hello? Scripturally. Your wife is number one. Then, children. Hello? Then your parents, then your sibling, then others follow. That's in your household. Hello? Then in the household of God, he said, give it unto the household of faith. There are people in your locality, in your local church that are in need. Before you look outward, minister to their need first. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And God will give you back 100% the maximum of Jesus Christ. Let's start to give him praise. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. Magnify his holy name. Lift him up. Him alone is worthy. Him alone is worthy. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. For it's the dawning of a new day. You know, every time new thing comes, every time new revelation comes, it will take us to a new level of glory. And that's why he has revealed to us the way the devil has been taking advantage of us. God has revealed to us the truth about it now. So give him thanks. Give him thanks. Magnify his name. Exalt his name. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Give him thanks. Exalt his name. Exalt his name. Magnify his holy name. Give him thanks. His name is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
I want us to pray for mercy again. Now, you know, we pray for mercy before. But now we can, when we pray for mercy, especially about the mistakes that we have made, you know, some of us have made, some people have even made vow. I say, God, if you give me this job, I'm going to give you so amount as a seed. Job landed. And the devil knows that you have already made a promise. That's that first man to buy bus card. Ash. You die the money. Hallelujah. The second one. So, I will try. Something happened again. But the mercy of God
cover us with the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want us to cry for mercy again. I said, Lord, every way that I've gone against your commandments, have mercy. Let's cry for mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Grant me a new start, Lord. A new beginning, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Have mercy, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Brethren, I know that God is more than eager or willing to take us to another realm. I'm so sure of that. Yeah. It is so evident. Honestly, I mean, you don't have to be especially spiritual in code to have discovered it. Because he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. He said, and Joe, he said, darkness shall cover the earth. Darkness is covering the earth. Have you, can't you notice what is happening all over the world? Companies changing and more manner of things manipulating to survive. And God is preparing you to buy, to take over that company. Hello? But if you are not faithful, he doesn't want that, that prosperity to kill you. Somebody that who is making 100,000 and when you mention tithe, he's shaking. Do you think he will give him 1 million? No. He won't give him because he knows he will kill him. He will kill him. I want us to pray because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. Say, Lord, I receive the grace to follow your commandment. I receive the grace to follow your commandment. I receive the grace to comply with the testimony of the Lord. I receive the grace to follow your commandment. I receive the grace to sow seed with delight, with joy, willingly, lovingly, consistently, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray for that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace to be consistent. Receive the grace to do it willingly. Receive the grace to do it lovingly. Receive the grace to do it joyfully, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want us to receive the grace. Receive the grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Imagine somebody saying that, okay, I want to bless you with this phone. I say, take. Even if you take it because you need it, something will tell you that man. If nobody say hunger, they wire me for not taking more. The same thing with God. If you are not willingly, I mean, giving it willingly, you say, that's what you give our tithe. Okay. I'm sorry. If not that, they will see me. I will not give. Oh. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their land and they lied. What happened to them? They didn't end well. Financial gain is the express way to financial grave. Hello? Financial, go and check Achan in the Bible. What happened to him? Check Gehazi. What happened to him? You will never see someone that is playing financial game that ever end well. It's not possible. Look at all those people that are stealing money from nations. Did they end well? It's not true. They don't end well. But as for you and your children, you will end well in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The God of heaven that has vowed that this is a year of divine enlargement will visit you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. But God is asking you now, receive the grace to sow your way up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I really want to thank God for this church. And let's put our hands together for Jesus for ourselves. Because every time people come here and visit here, the comment they make is that, that church. In fact, somebody say, that's your church. Even when we eat there, it's like this. And I want to thank God for your lives and I really want to appreciate you for recognizing the prophet in the house by following that instruction. But what God is telling us is that there's another realm that is taking us to. So you have stayed too long on that mountain. I want to take you to another height.
Hallelujah. So it's not that you have not, it's not that you have not been doing it, but he is eager to burst open. You know, some of us, we have been enjoying this level of level of blessing. He wants to give us rain. Hello? Some has been enjoying river level. He wants to take you to the ocean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why he's telling us this morning, especially this morning. Say, I want to take you to another realm. I want to direct that blessing to you to build that church. But if you are still hiding the little one he's giving you, you are changing figure. He said, I don't want to kill him. Let me look for somebody else. He wanted to build the temple. He knew that David would be faithful. That was why he gave him the resources. David was faithful. He left it for his son. He said, take. As the Lord liveth, I want you to do your hand like this. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord,
I hand over your people afresh unto your hands, Lord. You have given us various levels of grace to comply with your commandments. And as your privileged servants, I pray that these hands that are stretched out will never go down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every seed that you have privileged them to sow into your kingdom, we speak in their favor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mordecai sowed a seed into the king's life by saving his life, rescuing him from sudden death. And the Bible said that the king could not sleep until he blessed this one. I therefore pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that every seed that these ones have sown in the past, let their reward come speedily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In this year of divine enlargement, surprise your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bless these hands that are stretched towards you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cause them to enjoy supernatural turnaround in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These hands that are stretched towards you right now will never beg in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These hands will never beg for bread in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These hands will never beg for bread in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, these hands shall never beg for bread in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The level they are right now shall be the lowest ever in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They shall go from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And according to the word of prophecy for the year, you are the one that confirmed the counsel of your messenger. They have received the message. They have received your messenger that you have sent to proclaim that message. Lord, let the reward be spoken out in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let that reward manifest for all to see in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord.
Yeah.
In Jesus' most precious name, we are prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. To Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.